Go to Ephesians 6. In the last several weeks of Sunday school, I've been going through the armor of God, and then I've got two more left. We're going to get one more today, and I'll get the other one whenever that is. But as we've been going through these piece by piece, it's taken me quite a while. You can go through them hurriedly, or you can go through them, take your time, and study them out, and see what the Lord says to you. But each piece is vital, and you can't have, in order to have a complete set, you got to have them all. You got to put them all on. You got to take them. And we've talked about that in Sunday school, about the words having and taking. But and we're going to read here in just a second. But right in the beginning of the passage, it says put on. You got to put them on. You got to use them. You know, it's just like the clothes you wore today. You got to put them on. They're not going to jump off the hanger and get on your back. You have to put them on. You have to use them. And it looks like everyone done that. So that's a blessing. So anyway, let's read a scripture and we'll pray and we'll get rolling. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to start reading verse 10. Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. This morning we're going to talk about the helmet of salvation. So let's pray and we'll get started. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to stand and open up your word. We thank you for your people that's come out this morning, Lord, to hear what you have for them. Lord, I pray you just hide me behind the cross, Lord. Just get me out of the way. And Lord, I pray that they would see you this morning. Lord, we want to lift you high and magnify you. Lord, we know we can't make you any bigger, but we can magnify you to a lost and dying world. Lord, we want to bring you praise and honor and glory that you deserve this morning. Worship you in spirit and truth. Lord, we thank you for the songs that were sung. Lord, pray you was pleased with that. And Lord, right now, Lord, in the next few minutes, we pray that you would be pleased with what is said, and pray you just be a blessing to your people. Lord, we love you and thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So the whole armor of God, we're down to the helmet of salvation. And when we started back in verse 14, talking about our loins girt about with truth, that was a foundational, if you will, a foundational part of the armor. You could say it that way. But down in verse 17, the last two, I think, are also foundational, but they're also probably two of the most vital pieces that there is, the one being the helmet of salvation, which we're going to talk about here in just a minute, and also the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Where would you be without the Word of God? And I want to do something here in a few minutes. I kind of prayed about whether to do it or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. When you're in children's ministry downstairs, children's church, sometimes you have to use visuals. Sometimes I use visuals up here. So I'm going to do that here in just a second. And what I'm about to do, I done Wednesday night in a different, I wasn't doing this, talking about the helmet of salvation. I was actually talking about something else. Same, it's still related, same things. But sometimes you got to do a visual maybe to get somebody's attention. So maybe that's why I want to do it this morning, maybe to keep your attention. I'm not calling you children, okay? You're all adults, so I appreciate that. But just to make a point, and I want to talk about hats for just a few minutes, but I'm going to make a statement here. I'm not changing the word helmet in the Bible to hats. I'm going to talk about hats just as an example, just to make a point, but we're talking about the helmet of salvation. If I would have had some helmets, although I have one, it's kind of like you, I guess you could call it a helmet. But I didn't have any helmets, couldn't find any helmets, and I didn't know anybody that had helmets. So talking about the helmet of salvation, Roman soldiers in Bible times, they had helmets. They were made of brass, they were made of iron. Some of them had intricate work on them made in different shapes. So why did they wear that helmet? Well, obviously to protect their head. And down through this armor, all these pieces that the Word of God gives for the armor of the armor of God, it's all for protection. Now, if you're saved, born again, you ought to have all these pieces. Now, I'm looking at you right now. I don't see anybody with a helmet on their head. I don't see anybody with a breastplate. I don't see that. But you have them. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in just a second when we get in talking about hats. This armor is very vital. So the Roman soldier, they had this helmet made out of bronze, iron. You know, they could have made them out of different things. And sometimes they were very uncomfortable. You know, if you can just go home and put a 2-gallon metal wash bucket on your head, you know, that's probably what it would have felt like, and put you some eye holes in it. Probably not very comfortable, but they did from time to time put cloth or whatever. You know, back in those times, the headwear, well, any kind of wear, but headwear in particular wasn't as comfortable as it is now. You know, even hard hats now, or you put one on your head, it's just like wearing a ball cap. So they would put cloth or liners or whatever to make that comfortable. Also, and we're going to talk a little bit about this as well, there was an identification there. Some of these helmets would have you could call it a mohawk if you want to. They would have a strip of horsehair that went down the top of that helmet. And it looked like a scrub brush turned upside down. But it was different colors. It could be red, it could be black, it could be white, it could be whatever color. But that hair in that helmet in that time, that portrayed what rank that guy was. And I don't know what the colors, I didn't get into all that. But that's what that was. That was identification for that Roman soldier, you know, for whatever rank he was. They could be different colors. It's just like if you follow after any kind of ball teams, everybody has their own color. You know, Tennessee has orange. That's the best color for some of you. I won't say that while Pastor's not here. He probably just heard me. That's okay. But why do they have those colors? That's an identification. If you had two teams and they were both orange, that'd be kind of weird. You know who? Yeah, it would. But that's an identification that tells them who you are or who they are. Just like the armor of God, and hopefully by the time we get into this, I got to watch my time. That armor of God tells people who you are, and it's also an identification. But again, we've already spoke about this. That helmet was for protection. So you know, if your head gets injured, if your head gets cut off, you're of no use. You're absolutely no use. If you know both eyes get plucked out, you're of no use. You probably might do without your mouth, but if you can't eat, you're of no use. You know, your ears, you get cut off. Yeah, you can probably live with no ears, but still, it's protection around your head. So the helmet of God. Now we're going to kind of switch gears here just a little bit. We're going to talk about some identification. Tomorrow morning when I go to work, I'm going to have this hat on. Because this is who I work for. And if you don't have to wear a hat to work there, but if you wear a hat, they want you to have their logo on, and that's fine. Everybody likes a cat hat. So when I'm around and I see people with a cat hat, my first thing is, who do they work for? Who are they? But everybody has a cat hat. Now, here's the funny thing, and I told these kids downstairs, and they looked at me funny when I said this. I wear this hat every day. Now, this one's getting dirty. It's actually a new hat, but it's getting pretty nasty. Till it gets to the point, and then I'll throw it away. It's going to get pretty grungy. I'll throw it away. I'll get another one. This hat hangs right at my back door. So when I go out the door, I grab that hat. I put it on. That's what the armor of God says. You got to put it on. But here's the funny thing. There is people that know me, and I'm not going to mention their name over the radio, that they see me, and I don't wear this to work, but they see me every day in a hat. It doesn't have to be a cat hat, but they see me every day in a hat. They know me. They recognize my face. They know who I am. If I see those same people, if I go to Walmart and see those same people, and I look like this, they will walk by me. I can speak to them, and they'll look at me like, "Who are you?" That's an identification. Now, not specifically for the cat hat, and I have spoken to them, say, "Hey, so and so," and they'll look at me, "Oh, yeah. I don't know you without your hat on," because this is how they always see me. I always, you know, unless I'm at church, for the most part, I always have a hat on. So an identification. Now, I wear this hat one time a year. Would anybody know why? I don't wear this to Walmart. I don't definitely don't wear it to work. It's an identification, so you pretty much know what I'm doing with this. It's this orange hat. I don't want somebody to shoot me. But somebody, if they see me out, and especially if I have camo on, I have this hat, pretty simple, you know what I'm doing. You've just identified me with that hat. Brother David wouldn't wear this hat turkey hunting, okay? I don't think he'd try to call in a turkey with that hat on. Neither would I. So what about this hat? No, it's a cat hat. Same thing. If you see me with this hat on, what are you thinking? Oh, it's a cool hat. I'd like to have it. No, probably I'm going in the woods, not hunting turkeys. Hunting turkeys, maybe not. I don't want to be seen. You know, you want to hide yourself. So again, it's an identification. So what about this hat? They what?
Go to work.
Go to work. Yeah. On my job, sometimes if I go on a mine site, I have to wear this hat. It's required, and rightfully so. Now, I wouldn't take my wife out on a date and wear this hat. That would get weird. Sometimes at home, I may need to wear this hat. You know, when the skillet comes out. But again, it's an identification. People know you by what you wear. People know you now. Well, probably most of you in here wear hats. Some of you probably don't, and that's okay. But a hat is an identification. I can see that. I can see the orange hat. That's very, very visible. But I want to swap over here. How many hats do you wear that people don't see? The Lord has allowed me to be a deacon of this church. That's a hat that I wear. If I walk out these four walls and walk down the street and somebody drives by and they look at me, do they see that? Probably not. I don't know if I'm deacon of the church. I teach Sunday school here. Lord's allowed me to give me the privilege to do that, as many of you. That's a hat, another hat I wear. Same question. Does somebody see? They know I teach Sunday school? Probably not unless I told them. I'm a husband. Can somebody just visibly look at me and say, yeah, he's a husband? I mean, yeah, if they look at my hand. But if they just look at my face and say, yeah, he's married, probably not. Yeah, better move on from that one. I'm a dad. I've got three kids. Can somebody visibly see? That's another hat I wear. You say, you got a whole lot of hats. I have a lot of hats hanging on a rack at home. But also, I wear a lot of hats that you don't visibly see. And I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal, don't get me wrong, because I'm looking at a bunch of people that also wear a lot of hats. You wear a lot of hats that people don't see. The helmet of salvation, that's a hat that you can't see, but can you? Think about that a little bit. As far as I know, and there may be somebody in here that's lost, if there is, today be a great day to get saved. But as far as I know, most of the people that I'm looking at here this morning, you're saved, you're born again, you're on your way to heaven, you're wearing a helmet of salvation. I can't visibly see it, but I know it's there. But the thing about the helmet of salvation is, you know, with those hats, I can have a lot of different countenances. Even with the helmet of salvation, a lot of times you can look at that countenance, that will give away your helmet. It's a telltale sign. It'll tell you exactly who you are. So it's an identity. We wear a lot of hats. And to get back, I was talking to the young people downstairs Wednesday night, and I was talking about when Jesus, over in the first three Gospels, asked the disciples, "Whom say ye that I am?" He asked that question. And then he specifically asked Peter, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter said, "Thou art the Christ." He asked him a personal question. Has somebody ever asked you? I know we're sometimes in conversation we get on the defensive instead of asking or having somebody ask us who we are. We'll say, "Well, who do you think you are?" You know, if I look at Brother Adam, who do you think you are? Has anybody asked you who are you? Who are you? Maybe they can't see that helmet of salvation. And I know everybody has a bad day, but our countenance, your countenance tells, and I can't get in off on that word, that's a whole other message, but that countenance will tell a whole lot about a person. Yeah. So helmet of salvation, how do you get that? Well, if you've been born again, you've got it. But you still got to put it on. And we'll get to that hopefully at the end, if we have time. So that helmet of salvation has to be put on. And if you're going to put on something, you know, these hats that I have, they're adjusted, they fit me. I was asking the boys tonight, this morning, I said, I need either a bigger hat or a smaller hat, something that don't fit. And we'll get to that word fit, hopefully. I got a lot to get to. But if you put something on, and I guess here's what I'm going with this. There's a young man that I work with that needs to be saved, and pray for him. I'm not going to mention his name here. And when you put something on, and it's going to be hard not to get to the word fit without doing this. If you want to put something on, you want to understand what you're putting on. You know, if I just throw that hard hat at you, here, put this on. Some of you might just stick it on your head, but some of you might, what am I putting on here? What is this? You want to check it out. You know, when you go into the store to pick out clothes, and man, I can't stay away from the word fit here. You don't grab the first thing you see and just put it on. No, you pull it out and you look at it and you turn it around, and you open it up and you see if it's got threads sticking out, or you check it out. Well, some people, and this young man I'm talking about, I'm dealing with him about the Lord. He hadn't got saved yet. I've given him a Bible Foundations book. I've given him a Bible. I've given him the gospel. We've talked about different things through the scriptures. But he's skeptical, not in a bad way. And he told me that. He said, I don't jump into the first thing that I see. I don't partake of the first thing I see. He said, it's going to take me a little time. I said, that's okay. That's perfectly okay. And I told him, I said, I am not pushing you to do anything. I said, I just want to give you the truth. I want to make it plain to you. I want to reveal it to you where you can see it. I said, there's nothing hidden here. There's no hidden anything. I said, everything's out in the open. And he said, okay. He said, I'm going to study on this. And he has been reading some, and you know, I check on him every now and then. I don't get to work with him a lot, but I try to keep up with him. And maybe you were that way when you got saved. For some of you, maybe you was in a revival meeting, maybe you came to this church and you heard the gospel and the Holy Spirit convicted your heart and you came down here at an altar and got saved. Maybe it happened that fast. For some of you, maybe not. Maybe you was in church for several years and heard the gospel over and over and over. And then finally one day it clicked. That's what I need. It's different for everybody. But it's still the same helmet of salvation. It's still the same. But maybe you had to understand it before you put it on. Maybe you had to see what it was all about before you put it on. And some people are that way. And that's okay. You don't want to put on the wrong thing. You say, what's that? This day and time, people are putting on all kinds of wrong things as far as the helmet of salvation. That could be people will put on religion. They'll put on good works. They'll put on church membership. They'll put on baptism. They'll put on biblical knowledge. They'll put on suffering. They may put on poverty. They may put on legalism. What are these wrong helmets? They may put on false gods. There's an endless list of things that people put on in the name of Christ, in the name of salvation, and think they're okay. You want to check it out, but you want to make sure you have the right helmet. If I put on a ball cap and show up on a mine site, I'm in trouble. Number one, they're going to write me a big fine and my company a big fine, and I may even lose my job. Why? Because I got the wrong hat on. You got to have the right helmet. So somebody in the Bible who's seen salvation. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. You You know, if the things, the list that I just gave you, if those things are not salvation, then what is? Luke chapter 2, we'll start reading at verse 25. The Bible says this, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people." Before you got saved, you might have heard about Jesus. You might have heard about God. I'm sure probably most everybody in here in this area has heard the gospel. If you were raised in this area, now right now that's probably not the case for some people, younger people growing up. That's sad to say. But there was a time in your life that you seen exactly what you need. You seen yourself as a sinner. You seen yourself in need of a Savior. You found out who that was. That was Jesus Christ. And then, and we're going to get to it here in just a second, through repentance and faith, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior and became born again. Now you're seated in heavenly places right now with Christ Jesus, in Christ. You're in Christ. The Bible says that, being in Christ. We're in Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in our heart. So you're in Christ. You have all the pieces of His armor. They're all available. You have them all, but you still got to put them on. All of us in here that I'm looking at, all of you have I'm safe in saying this, have a clothes or a closet at home full of clothes, shoes, hats, whatever. But what good do they do if you don't put on, not all at one time, but if you don't put them on, what good are they? You have to use them. So Simeon seen the salvation, which was Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That salvation is Jesus Christ. So, back in Ephesians 6, it said, back in the previous verses, one of the very first two words in one of the verses up there, put on. So when you got saved, you put on Jesus Christ. So how do you put on Jesus Christ? And we've already talked a little bit about that. Luke 13:3, you don't want to turn there. It actually says it in two places. Luke 13:3 and also verse 5 says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. There was a time in your life that you repented of your sins. Amen. And that word repentance, that in this day and time has become a dirty word. A lot of churches, even in this area, have taken that word out. They don't like to use that word. I have picking up gospel tracts before, have had a gospel tract handed to me, be somewhere, the first thing I do is open it up and look at it. Is there any repentance in here? It would shock you, the tracts that's floating around that doesn't have repentance in it. That's part of your salvation. There has to be repentance there. And that word repent just means it's a change of mind, but it also, that change of mind leads to a change of action or direction. When you got saved, and the Bible talks about this, you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You don't do the things you used to do. You don't go the places you used to go. You don't talk the way you used to talk. There was a definite change. And we've all seen people that have professed the name of Christ, and there was no change. I would question that. I would check up on that. There was a change, a definite change. Hallelujah, there's a change. Who would want to go back to who they was? Who would want to do that? All right, let's look at a few things. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 7. Try to get you out of here so the roast won't burn. 2 Corinthians 7. Talking about that word repentance, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse number 10, the Bible says this, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." So there was some sorry. The moment we became aware that we were a sinner guilty before God, there was some sorrow there. There ought to be some sorrow. Repentance without sorrow, I'd question that. that there has to be a time in your life that you were sorry for sins. You know, we down through the years in this church, even through Bible school, we've seen children just weep because they knew they were sorry for their sins. I've seen adults weep because they knew they were sorry for their sins. Repentance, and again, repentance for salvation, but also that ought to be a daily thing. We ought to stay clean before God, have a short list with God. As long as we're in this flesh, we're going to sin. It's evident. But we need to have a time every day, multiple times a day, to repent of our sins, not to be saved again, but to cleanse ourselves of all the filthiness that we come in contact with. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 2. When I defined that word repent, I said, you know, in 1828, it does talk about a change of mind. And I know pastors talked about this before. Multiple places in the Word of God, it talks about that God repented. And I know people confuse that. He never repented of his sins. He never sinned. But I know over in Genesis 6, he talks about God repented. You say, what did he do? He had repented that he made man. When man failed, man sinned, he repented that he made man. He wasn't repenting of his sin. He didn't sin. But he changed his mind that he had made man. He wanted to wipe the slate clean and start all over again. So that word repent has a couple of different meanings. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 22. Is that right? Yeah. Verse 22, 2 Timothy 2, Bible says, flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Verse 24, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive of them at his will. So the Bible gives us some things to flee and gives us some things to go to. That's why as a born-again believer, it's so, and you think when you become an adult, you say, yeah, I can handle all these things. I can handle being around those guys. No. It's so much important, or why is it? It is of so much importance that we watch who we're around. Because if you're around somebody long enough, you're going to start talking like them. You may even start looking like them. And I'm not talking about physically what they wear. I know that on my own job, you know, there's some guys that if it's just me and them one-on-one, and one come to mind in particular, he's lost, he needs to be saved. We're okay, just me and him. Now, sometimes his mouth gets a little bit wild. But he knows I don't like that, and it takes him a little while. He'll clean that up, and we're okay the rest of the day. But another guy can come in, and there'll be three of us, and another one be like him. You got to walk away. It's that bad. But we got to stay away, try to stay away from those things. So it repents. We talked about God changing his mind. Familiar verses on salvation, you know these. I'm just going to read them. Just you don't have to turn there. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. We know those verses. Those are elementary. They're easy for us. But what about these people? You know that. You've got the helmet of the salvation on. You've got the armor of God. You got to give it to somebody else. You can't hoard those things up. Now, here's the word I want to get to, and for here just a second. I've been all around, and I want to get there. We've talked about putting on. We've talked about wearing. We've talked about identity and trying things out. You know, you don't want to put on the wrong thing. And we've talked about some other things that people put on that the wrong thing. But here's the word I want to use, and that word is fit. That word fit, I want to define. That word fit means suitable, it means convenient, it's to adapt to, it's to accommodate a person with anything. It's just like, and I don't know if people do that much around here anymore. Maybe they do. Maybe some of you ladies even do this. It's going to that tailor. If I bought this coat and it didn't exactly fit right, I took it to this man or lady, and they make it fit. It's very uncomfortable to wear clothing or hats that don't fit. Would that be a true statement? Yeah. My hard hat, it was just tight now, my wife cut my hair. But some of these, that hat, if I wear that all day, and I know some of you guys have wore hard hats or do wear hard hats, you come home and you got a big X right on the top of your head. If that hard hat don't fit right, even if it gets sweaty or whatever, man, it hurts. It's comfortable. I come home and I got a big ring around my head. It's uncomfortable to wear a helmet that don't fit. And praise the Lord, I know we hammer the King James Bible, and rightfully so. Praise the Lord, wouldn't want nothing else. But you know why we have it? Because it fits. The truths out of this Bible, the means of salvation, the doctrines out of this Bible, the correct doctrine, the sound doctrine, the doctrines that's in this Bible, they fit. They fit me, and I'm sure they fit you. And God made it that way. Why mess with it? But I know people, there's churches in this town, there's churches all over this country that carries a Bible. Number one, it ain't got all the words in it, but secondly, it doesn't fit. And you change words, you change scriptures, you change the truths out of this Bible, it won't fit. That helmet of salvation is not going to fit. If there's only one way to get to heaven, that's through the Lord Jesus Christ by repentance and faith. If you try to go some other way, that helmet doesn't fit. It's just like I think of David over in 1 Samuel 17 when Saul gave him his armor. And you got to kind of imagine this with me. This is what I picture David. When Saul walks up and says, here, use this stuff. I envision Saul giving him his sword, and when David sticks his sword down in his belt, the sword goes down in the ground and the handle of the sword's still up here. I envision Saul putting that helmet on David, and when he puts it on, it goes all the way down and the eye holes are down here. It didn't fit. Why would we want a gospel that didn't fit? Why would we want scriptures that didn't fit? I like it when stuff fits. When you put things together, they fit. Brother Richard talking about doing woodworking this morning in Sunday school and talking about purpose. I do a lot of woodworking and things like that. I like it when stuff fits. When it don't fit, it's like putting a round peg in a square hole. It doesn't fit. It won't work. It has to fit. Why do they have fitting rooms in stores? Would that not be awkward to go in a store and buy some articles of clothing and just take them home? That'd be really weird. You go in that fitting room to see if it fits. Why would you buy something that didn't fit? Why would you want a Bible that didn't fit? Why would you want the things that's not true? We don't want things that doesn't fit. You know what I like about the Lord Jesus Christ and how He works in our lives? And the Bible talks about over in Psalms about all those benefits that He daily loadeth us with. He fits those benefits. He fits those blessings to our situations. Now, many times when He does those things, it may not fit in our eyes, and you would look at that and say, well, why would He do that? But He done it for your good. He didn't ask you when He done it. He done it to suit you. He done it to fit you. It may not have been what you thought at the moment would have been right, but it was right through Him because it fit. And He knows exactly what we need. All right, last thing. I'm going to be done. Last thing about the helmet of salvation. We talked about identity. We talked about how it fits. We talked about trying it on, all those things, how to get it. Talked about salvation. All these, if you have your Bible, go back to Ephesians 6 real quick. All these pieces of armor, all of them have a purpose. It's just like if you have kids and you get them that, I don't know what, you get them something on Christmas and it's got 62,000 pieces. And here's you get the schematic or the directions are to put it all together. Yeah, I'll go ahead and do this. How many of you guys, you just start putting it together? You just, yeah. There you go, Jason. Yeah, Brother Junior. Yeah, we can do that. We got that covered. And you get about halfway down in there, and you got some pieces over here that was supposed to go in step 3, and you're on step 52. How's it going to fit now? All these pieces, the armor of God, all these pieces, they're vital. They're vital to the born again believer. Why? Because it's a spiritual battle. These are not physical pieces. They're related to physical pieces, but they're not. Again, I can't look at Brother Adam and see his armor on. He has it. You all have it. I can't see it, but it should be there. It is there. So each piece. So this, we're in a spiritual battle here. And with the helmet of salvation, you say, you know, yes, it protects my head physically, yes, but it also protects a lot more in your head spiritually. Eyes, ears, nose, mouth, those gates that let information and things in, taste, things that you hear, things that you taste, things that you see, there's a protection there of that helmet. And we need that protection of God. And more importantly, it's a protection of the mind. This world is stopping at nothing to control the battlefield of your mind. And I know I've said this, I feel like I say it every time I stand before you. Even now as we sit here, it's 10 to 12. Don't look at the clock, but it's 10 to 12. It's 9 to 12. Right now, there's a battle going on in your mind right now, and I don't know who's winning. I can see you physically, but I can't see the battle in your mind. I don't know who's winning the mind right now as I'm standing up here speaking, as the Word of God's going forth. I don't know who's winning. I can't see who's winning. I can't see that. But you know what? You know who's winning. I can't see inside your mind. And even sitting here this morning, sitting through Sunday school this morning before I ever came to church, there was a battle in my mind. Oh, you can't get up there and stand and speak. It's constant. There's a warfare going on in your mind, and man, that's why that helmet of salvation is so vital to use it. You've got to protect that mind. All right, let's go to 2 Timothy 1. We'll wrap this up and be done here in just a second. We know this verse. Many of you have it memorized. We talk about it a lot. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, the Bible says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear." And that's a whole other message within itself. But look at the remainder of this verse. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of" what kind of mind? A sound mind. It's a blessing of the Lord to have a sound mind. It's a blessing of the Lord to get to a place where you can read these scriptures, get in your prayer closet, get in your car, wherever that is, and have a sound mind and be able to comprehend what you just read. Be able to comprehend what the Lord's trying to say in your heart. That's a blessing. I know all of us in here, we're busy, many of us still work, you have jobs, you have things you deal with, you have family you deal with. It's back to all those hat things. I don't know how many hats I wear. I don't know how many hats you wear. But you know what? There's a battleground in all those hats. And I'm not talking about the hat I had on my head. There's a battleground. Somebody's wanting control of all those areas. And we've got to let the Lord Jesus Christ control that. We've got to let Him have control. We've got to keep Him in our mind. I know it's part of life. We have to deal with things. We have to work a job. I get all that. But the battle of your mind is so important. The battle of your mind will affect what goes on in here. The battle of your mind will also affect what we do from here somewhere else. Those names on them boards back there, they're affected by the battle that goes on in your mind. And there's some guys on those boards right now that's fighting a hard battle. That's really struggling right now. It's a battle of our mind. All right, we got just a few minutes. let's go to 1 Timothy 6. You're in 2 Timothy. Go back a book. 1 Timothy 6. Bible talks about men of corrupt minds. It also talks about that in 2 Timothy 3. We'll read this one. 1 Timothy 6, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, verse 5, perverse disputings, men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself." Men of corrupt minds, get away from them. And we all know people like that. They're corrupt. Everything comes out of their mouth, they're corrupt. Get away from those people. That's what I love about my church. This is what I love about my church family. There's some like-mindedness in here. Now, we're all different backgrounds. We're all different, you know, and I've said this before also. The only commonality we all have is Jesus Christ. I mean, take that away and we're different as salt and pepper. But I love my church family. I like to be around these people. I don't have to worry about corrupt minds here. I leave here, go to my job or go anywhere. That's corruptness. That's corrupt minds. I have to be there, but you got to distance yourself. So the battle of our mind, and I don't have time to finish the rest of this, but we're almost done anyway. Bible says in 1 Peter 1:13, it talks about girding up the loins of your mind. Girding those things up. So again, it's a battlefield of our mind. So I want to leave you with five things, and I'm not going to expound on these. I'm just going to read them. five things. We've talked about hats. We've talked about helmets. We've talked about salvation. We've talked about application, things we put on, things that fit, things that don't fit. But five things I want to leave with you as far as the helmet of salvation is concerned. Number one, you got to put on that helmet. Secondly, you got to snap the helmet tight. In my heart, I don't have a chin strap. I wouldn't want one on it. Put the helmet on and snap it on. It won't fall off. Secondly, renew your mind. Or thirdly, we need to renew our minds. That's talked about over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We need to have a renewed mind. Fourthly, we need to keep an eternal perspective. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep looking up. He's coming back. What am I on? Two, three, four. Fifthly, I said five, I got six. Fifthly, remember victory is already accomplished. The victory is won. And lastly, find all your hope in Him. So this morning, put on the helmet of salvation. Use it. All those pieces are, and we got one more to go. But put on all those pieces. You can't use them if you don't put them on. You have to use them. And that helmet is, I'm not going to say it's the most, they're all vital. All those pieces, you have to have all of them. You can't have one without the other. But my plea to you is you got to put them on. You got to take them with you. You got to use them. It's just like this Bible. All of us have multiple Bibles at home. I'm sure you do. But you got to use it. You got to take it with you. You got to put the scriptures, you got to put the truths, the doctrines that's in this Bible, you got to put them on. They got to become yours. And again, just keep your eyes